Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Especially where my boys are at this point in their age. They were a lot younger. The last time I made a decision like this 4 years ago, you know, I got a teenage boy, a preteen, and a little girl right now that wasn't around as well. So, sitting down and considering everything.
An older, wiser LeBron James, who regrets the way the last one went down and is taking a much quieter and more businesslike approach to his decision this time. And here to talk about the NBA and all of these moving pieces, or potentially moving pieces, is Howard Beck, who is on Twitter at Howard Beck, the senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report. Hi, Howard. How are you doing?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good. The NBA at the moment feels attenuated. It's as if we're all waiting for something, and we can't seem to agree for what we are waiting. Whether or not there's going to be something that starts everything. You know, there's rumors here, a report there, but I don't know what we're waiting for. We're kind of standing around like characters in a Beckett play.
I love that. That will certainly be the most literary reference I hear on Sports Talk Radio today. A lot of stuff is going to happen, and yes, we are just kind of waiting. But we will not be waiting interminably. I mean, the draft is a couple days away here, and I think there could be fireworks on draft night. And if there aren't, there will be certainly not long after that. It's, you know, not just LeBron, who you just played the clip from coming out of the break, but you know, Paul George could be on the move. Kawhi Leonard, of course, potentially being traded. And a bunch of other stuff that I think would be coming in behind that as teams once again go into an off season where some combination of you know, desperation and opportunism are going to move the marketplace. I mean, there's just a lot that could happen out there. There's a lot of teams that just are in various stages of discontent, players who are in various stages of discontent, and that usually means a lot of movement.
Howard, we all know that LeBron is obviously, wherever he goes, you've got a team that can make the finals. I mean, that's the LeBron we've seen over the last couple of years, and he's the biggest piece to move this offseason. But do we have any idea of a sense of how well he wants the table set before he goes somewhere? For instance, does a team have to get Kawhi before he's going to end up there, or do we think that maybe he's happy to go to a roster that's good enough and promises to make subsequent moves at some point down the line?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a question that I've posed to people, in his orbit over the course of the season. I mean, nobody's going to tip their hand on that, but it's reasonable to believe that he's not ready to stop contending. He's been to 8 straight finals, obviously 9 in his 15 years, which is mind blowing, and he's still playing at an MVP level. There's no reason to think that at age 33 and you're going into year 16. That he's going to just downshift and be okay with just coasting, be on a good but not great team. Like, there's absolutely no reason to believe that. He can still contend. Any team he goes to immediately becomes, at minimum, a very good playoff team by him alone. And we saw that because he just took a really crappy roster to the finals. And so, all that said, does he want to still contend? Yes. Does he want to see a roster that's ready for him? I mean, there's a chicken and egg thing going on here, obviously. Would he go to L.A. by himself? I don't think so. I don't think, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma is enough to attract him. But if he knows that the wheels are turning on a Kawhi Leonard trade, or if he knows that Paul George is planning to come and sign into their cap room as well, then, yeah, I mean, I think these things are going to probably happen either simultaneously or with, you know, enough intel in his hands to know what else is coming behind it. He's not just going to go, you know, plant his flag somewhere without legit help.
What is the national view right now of the Bulls as currently constructed, the Bulls as currently generally managed and coached, and where they are in their rebuild? Because we get in town stupid sometimes, and you get so close to something that you think that everybody is looking at the team the way you're looking at the team, or fans are looking at the team. What's the league-wide, what do players think of what the Bulls are and where they are?
Well, you're talking to a guy who's based in New York. So,
perfect.
You know, I mean, my perspective on what teams qualify as, you know, dumb or dysfunctional, the contrast is has to be kept in mind, because the Knicks are the bar for me. That's the gauge. I think that for all the stressing and concern over the Bulls the last couple of years, and I understand all of it, I think they're actually in a pretty good spot right now. There's intrigue. I can't tell you from a national perspective. I can just tell you from what I've seen. Mm-hmm. But Chris Dunn, when he was healthy last season, looked pretty good. And Lauri Markkanen had a very good rookie season. And Zach LaVine is healthy again. And so you've got like three young, pretty solid pieces there potentially. And a high pick coming up Thursday night. I think the Bulls, everybody's got their draft hits and misses. But I think on the whole, they've drafted well. And, there's opportunity there. Cap room coming, everything else. Of all the teams that are, at the top of the lottery, the teams that are losing teams by definition, that, as you're starting to rate them against each other, I like the Bulls' future over most of those teams.
Do we think at all that the Celtics could be a team just kind of lurking and waiting to make things as crazy as possible this offseason? I mean, with Kyrie as close to free agency as he is, with a roster that saw Jason Tatum explode and come so close to grabbing, the star's mantle in the playoffs, can they make things as nuts as possible?
I mean, they could. The question becomes, how far do they want to take it with this group before payroll concerns force them to make some tough decisions? Like right now, they can bring back Marcus Smart, pay him whatever he requires, whatever the market demands for Marcus Smart. They can keep the same group together. They don't have to go flipping anybody. They don't have to worry about, is Gordon Hayward going to fit with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? They could just bask in the wealth of their riches of talent right now if they want to. But that there will be a time limit on that, because eventually the younger guys will come due on their first veteran contracts, and it will destroy the payroll and put them into massive tax hell. So for right now, I think they just hold it together and see where it goes. See if Kyrie's healthy before you decide to either flip him or Terry Rozier. Kyrie's had multiple surgeries on that same knee. They got to see what he looks like. See what Gordon Hayward looks like when he comes back. But they've got so many talented players, all-star caliber players and potential all-stars, and assets yet to use in terms of draft picks, future picks from other teams, that, yeah, they can make any splash they want. And if they want in on Kawhi Leonard, they've got more goods to trade than anybody.
Talking to you, Howard Beck, the senior NBA writer at Bleacher Report, and something we tend to look at as we see the potential construction of super teams is the power balance between the two conferences. And it just feels antiquated to me, the idea of having the East and having the West in terms of the playoffs. And do you think we're any closer in this postmodern NBA, any closer to an arrangement by which we won't have to worry about such things, and we will have a system that better ensures the best teams meeting in the finals rather than the conference finals being a de facto championship?
It's a great question, and I don't know a definitive answer to that. I just know that this is something that is a constant conversation among GMs and at the league level. It's difficult because the second you decide to dissolve the conferences effectively and make it just a 1-16 or however you want to structure it, but without regard to conferences, if you're one of those teams in the East that knows you can make the playoffs with a worse record and you know you're not going to make it, without the benefit of conference structure, then you're going to vote against it. So, teams are going to always vote out of self-interest. And that self-interest, I think, is always going to, or probably always going to, thwart the potential greater good of having a more logical and competitive system that produces a finals with the two best teams. But, anything's possible. Adam Silver, his favorite phrase is fresh look. He wants a fresh look at everything. And this is among those issues that they've studied at length. The league's stance continues to also be that We think travel becomes a problem. I don't really buy that. I mean, they've got, I think, the math to back it up. They've done all the modeling statistically and everything about what the travel would be like and how much more travel would be involved if you don't use conferences in the seatings. But I don't buy it to this degree. That we know that every team has its own private plane or charter. You know, travel's become easier. They've made it so that they changed the finals to 2-2-1-1-1 in deference to the fact that travel today is different than it was 25 years ago or whatever when they first went to the 2-3-2. Like they can handle it. They can do it. And besides that, even now, you can have Portland New Orleans playoff series that is almost as bad travel wise as anything else. And that's two teams that are in the same conference. Those are two Western Conference teams where the travel would be, whatever, 5 hours each way. So they can't say that it's necessarily going to increase the travel by that much. Yeah, there would be more East-West going on, but with modern conveniences and the luxury of the planes that they fly on, they'd be fine.
Howard, I read a report yesterday, or maybe it was Sunday even over the weekend, that Adam Silver and the commissioner's office had kind of let teams know that perhaps the draft eligibility requirements might be changing as soon as 2021, but no earlier than that. I wonder what the purpose of that is, other than just letting teams know that their picks, their future picks that might be on the move come draft night, might be more valuable down the line, considering I guess that would be the knockoff of the one-and-done deal, which allows you to get an entire new class of prospect in for that subsequent draft.
Yeah, no, that was a scoop by my buddy Zach Lowe at ESPN.
That's right.
And that story and that memo, I think it's exactly as you laid it out. It's kind of just an advisory. Like, hey, folks, nothing's certain, but if it does happen, this is approximately when it could happen. Mm. And yeah, before you go trading future picks, you might want to keep in mind that there's going to be a year where we get, two elite classes available for drafting simultaneously because of the elimination of the age barrier. And, they've always been working toward this, by the way. Like, it should be no surprise that this day may be coming, because Adam Silver has talked about wanting to potentially remove it. The union certainly has been in favor of removing the age limit, and it's something that they've been discussing. They've talked about the fact that they've been discussing it. It's always just been about the mechanics and the timing and what you need in place first. Well, one of the things they want in place first at the league level is that every single NBA team has its own development league affiliate, now referred to as the G League. So if every team's got its own G League affiliate, if you draft a guy who's not ready, as happened before when we had, high school kids coming straight in, now at least you have a place to develop them in a way that's controlled by your parent club and with all the benefits of NBA technology and training methods, an infrastructure that they just didn't have when the high schoolers were coming out before. So once you have that established, and they're getting close to it, I think it's 27 out of 30 teams have their own G League affiliate. Once they get those other three teams on board, you're ready to revisit this and, reopen the CBA just for the purposes of eliminating the age limit, but putting in place some other stuff, whether it's regard to contracts and how that works, when they're going to be sent down, how often you can be sent down, all those other things that they have to do. But, they got a few years to work on it, clearly, and I think that's where we're heading.
Really good stuff, Howard. We appreciate you taking time for us today.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
That is Howard Beck, the Bleacher Report senior NBA writer.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.